This is Radio Free Galaxy. It's time to go.
This is the space age, and we are here to go.
3, 2, 1, 0. Through heaven and earth.
Welcome to Radio Free Galaxy. I'm Travis Lee.
I'm Teen Komar.
I'm completely prepared to be contrary.
I'm Shannon.
Excellent. Great job, guys. This is episode 128 of Radio Free Galaxy. This evening, we are going to be reviewing Wakanda Forever, just released last week in theaters, and we've all seen it. We'll give you our review of the latest installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But before that, we have to get to the latest in the Star Wars galaxy, and that is episode 11 of Andor, which is titled The Daughters of Ferrix. I thought we would do something a little bit different this week, since we have Shannon back. She's a frequent contributor now. Just 4 weeks ago, she went from being a first-time guest, and now she's been on 3 of the last 4 episodes. Thanks for being back again, Shannon.
You're welcome.
She's starting to rival like Rich and who else?
A bunch of people. Kelly's been on quite a few times. Yep. Rich has been on quite a few times. Dan has been on a few times. Yeah, we've had some frequent guests, but Shannon's moving her way up swiftly here. So I had a challenge for her. I thought, you know, we could just have our, like, weekly bitch sesh about Andor and complain about how boring it is and all that stuff. Or we could ask Shannon to watch it, who she hasn't seen any of the episodes yet, and just, without any context, just watch episode 11 and give us her perspective of what she sees going on here. So I asked her earlier this evening if she could watch it. She had just gotten back from Black Panther and she was nice enough to watch it. So Shannon, you did watch episode 11 of Andor, correct?
I did.
All right. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it.
As our resident, like, yeah, right.
Condolences.
But, as our resident Star Trek fan.
Yeah. As a resident Star Trek fan, and you're a fan of Star Wars stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Just not on the same level as your Star Trek fandom.
Yeah, no. I enjoy both, but Star Trek has my heart. But Star Wars is very cool, too.
Yep. And you haven't been watching this, but did you, like, intend to get to it at some point?
Yes.
Okay, so asking you to watch this episode in a bubble, I mean, you're still probably going to go back and watch the rest of it at some point? Right. That silence was deafening.
Damning almost.
Damn.
And let me remind you, Shannon, now this was one of the better episodes of this show. I was like, well, this, when I was watching this episode, I was like, well, this isn't really fair because this is actually one of the more like exciting, mm-hmm. eventful like episodes of the show. You didn't like get the slog that we got around like episodes 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like it was just the worst. You got one of the good ones. Just your general perspective of just watching this Star Wars story play out. I mean, you've seen Rogue One, so you know kind of where this is going. We're just talking about the beginning of the rebellion and things like that, the infancy of the rebellion. What did you think of this show? How it's made, how it looks, the story they're telling. What did you think?
Let's see. Artistically, like a lot of movies these days, I'm blown away by the visuals. The the graphics are amazing. The shots are awesome. It visually looks like a beautiful show.
Right.
On that note, the only character I cared about was the poor little red droid.
I know.
I felt so bad for him.
That droid is so cute.
Everybody else was so boring. And there were so many of those classic theater shots where you get to see somebody just frozen on screen. And I'm like, this is not helping the movie or the show along at all. Why is this here?
Yeah.
But there was so much jumping around from scene to scene, I had no real clue what was going on.
Yeah, it's really hard to follow. That's how it's been the entire season, Shannon. There's like about four or five storylines, and they keep, in every episode, they keep jumping back and forth. And then some of these characters are like living a double life because they're living their public life and then they're living their secret rebellious life. So we have to jump from one aspect of their life to another aspect of their life. And then we jump to another story and another story. And like you jump to like the bureaucrat guy and his overly protective weird mom. And then we jump to Mon Mothma and her daughter problems and her banking problems. And then we jump to Andor and he's still just goofing off, like escaping from prison and, you know, like
just goofing off
on some, well, he's around on some weird, vacation planet. Now I could have paid attention to what it was, but I just didn't care that much.
He went back to the resort planet that he got arrested on where he had his fucking stash hidden in the shower.
Right. Okay, you're right. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, is that what that was? Yeah. Okay.
Right, so completely out of context. Except, man, jack shit other than it looked like he was stealing from those two alien vacationers.
Yeah, right. And he was not.
I was just like, this must have been important in an earlier show that I didn't see yet.
Not really.
I mean, a little bit. A little bit, but not really.
Not really.
Gotta get my stash.
I don't know.
I just thought he was stealing from them. So, you know, I mean, at least it puts it a little bit in a more, it's his stuff.
Yeah, I guess, you know. But, I mean, there's one episode left of this season. It should be building to some kind of climax. And I don't know what the climax coming is or what it could be in one episode that they're really going to leave us on like some kind of like a cliffhanger
that's going to really get me interested in seeing another fucking season of this slog.
I think the most interesting part of this all is Luthen, played by Stellan Skarsgård. Is he a former Jedi, you guys?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
He would not be moving around and open the way he does.
Okay, what was that thing?
He would not be on Coruscant.
I hear you. I totally thought of that too, Adam. You know, even though he puts on his little wig for a disguise, somehow that's disguising him.
Hold on. On that note of that wig is disguise. Yeah. So Henry Cavill, who has played Superman, went into Times Square, right? It's Henry Cavill. Everyone knows who this motherfucker is, and if you don't, you're missing out because he's a handsome motherfucker. I bat for the other team for this guy.
Yeah.
So he's in Times Square. He throws on some black horn rim glasses and walks around. Nobody recognizes him, right? They videotaped this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I guess the disguise does work. And like, what the fuck? Because Clark Kent, all he does is throw on some fucking glasses.
It's true.
And puts on a button down.
That's
so like Stellan Skarsgård throwing on his toupee. I mean,
yeah.
Eh.
He trades in one short gray hairstyle for a slightly longer gray hairstyle.
Right.
They'll never know.
They'll never suspect me.
Like last week when we were off, like not recording, when I was mentioned, like when I was walking through Mitchell International Airport, right, when I was going to Dan Chan's wedding, I'm in a suit, right? Shaved, suit. Getting ready, you know, because we had to be, because we're flying on standby with a friend of ours, like, because he was employed by Midwest Express. Adam Shane walks right by me. He's known me at this point for, like, 5 years. Just walks right past me. Doesn't even recognize me. What's different? Well, I'm not wearing fucking cargo. I'm not wearing, like, military style pants, a black t-shirt, and like a flight coat and combat boots, right? Yeah. I'm clean shaven for once. Like, that only usually happens like once every like 3 months, you know? Yeah. Yeah. So like, he walked right by me, didn't know it was me. What was different? I was wearing a suit. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, it's little things like that that people don't pick up on.
So, yeah, getting to the back to the point, though, Adam, I mean, I thought about that, too. If he was a Jedi of his age at this time, he would have been so known. Because he would have been, like, if he wasn't a master, he should have been at the point when Order 66 happened, unless he left the Order way before that for some reason. Right. But
even still... The Inquisition would have known about him. And you don't hide on Coruscant.
Well, sometimes the place to, you know, the best place to hide is in plain sight. And, right. Yeah, I don't know if he is, but what was that thing that he had on him when Two Tubes searched him when he was going to see Saw Gerrera? It looked like a wooden lightsaber. What was that?
It's probably a stun stick.
It might have been, but it looked like a wooden handled lightsaber. Christine's looking at me like she's never even seen this.
No, I've seen it, but I wasn't seeing lightsaber. I was thinking like taser stick.
Taser stick?
So
I don't know what the technical look, I don't care enough in this series to find out what it is.
Right. It would have been more likely to have been either a collapsible walking stick or a vibro weapon of some sort, collapsible or not. Yeah. Or a force pike, which is not to be mistaken for a Jedi weapon. It just delivers, like, can basically kill, like, things if you prolong, like, come in contact with them when it's turned on.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been a lightsaber, but natural material lightsabers, mostly aliens, like Wookiees, would have something like that.
Right. Yeah, but
Wookiees would use natural materials to make Ithorians. The hammerhead people would use natural materials to construct their lightsabers.
I mean, there's precedent for it. You know, it might not be in necessarily his culture or his planet, but there's precedent for, like, natural material lightsaber, alternative material lightsabers, right? And, I mean, it and looked it like it had a long handle. It was
necessity.
Yeah.
But they do make longer-handled lightsabers. They're designed to be fought with two-handed style.
Right.
That they typically have a longer blade.
Right. Yeah, so, I mean, they made a point of showing that. So it was for some storytelling reason, you would think. Because, you know, like, you shouldn't show a gun in the first act if you're not going to use it by the third. Adam, are you, like, opening Kool-Aid, or what's going on over there?
Yes.
Kool-Aid?
It sounds like crinkling you're flipping a Kool-Aid packet or something. I don't know.
Right? So, actually, I think for that scene, it was just to show that he was essentially unarmed. Because he does fucking get tricked that one fucking dude closer to him, pulls his blaster, and is like, puts it up to get up to Saw.
But that's then why not the only why not just show him taking out a blaster? We've seen him with a blaster before. So why not just show him taking out a blaster?
Would you show up to Saw Gerrera's camp with a blaster?
Well, yeah, as long as you know you're going to take it out before you walk in to see him. Like, you've got a weapon on you either way. Either way, you've got a weapon on you, whether it's a blaster or something that's a melee weapon, you know?
I don't think he would have. He plays a longer game than that, and he's smarter than that.
I mean...
Saw's already paranoid, and he knows it. Why would you bring a weapon?
He's paranoid, though, if you show up without one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, right? Exactly, Shannon. That's how Saw thinks. That's how, and he showed that and how paranoid he is the whole time that they were having their conversation. He thinks that Luthen might be ISB, you know, or something. He just can't believe, and now he's paranoid of all his people because he's like, Luthen has somebody here with me, and like.
I don't know. I just don't think they need any more storylines for me to try to think about in this series.
Well, they're giving you one.
I don't want another one.
I think it's as simple as they showed him like being frisked like that just so that it draws attention to the fact that he really didn't come armed. And that's part of why he called dude over to grid his blaster. Created tension.
I got to say, the best part of this episode is when he Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, because when you said, what's up with the... I thought you were going to mention the two beam weapons that were mounted on his ship that he used to when he did his barrel roll to fuck up those two TIE fighters. That's right. What I thought you were going to ask about. Because right. They appear to be, like, two big fucking giant, like, lightsabers. They're right. Not. There are beam weapons, like normal hard beam lasers in Star Wars. You just don't normally see them because a blaster is more economical.
No, Adam, that whole escape scene there was, I think, the best moment, the best action moment of this entire series.
Yes.
It was orchestrated really well. It had the build up, the anxious like build up of a classic Star Wars scene when the Empire is trying to run down a rebel ship or something like that, and you know your code's not working and they're gonna board you and everything, and it's just like it had that classic Star Wars feel to it, and it was a really cool escape, and that like I don't even know how to describe it, but like that Caltrop like explosion from the back of his ship.
The flechette launcher.
Yeah I've never seen that before, and that just totally just obliterated their radar. That was a pretty cool
weapon.
That was
weird that it needed to charge up though.
Yeah, was he charging up that, or was he still charging up his thrusters for the...
I think he was charging up the full, like, everything, so, like, yeah. He had enough power to, like, do all the stupid shit.
Right.
Yeah, but if you're running hot on one of those things, I'm sure their instruments would be able to detect it, so he's probably trying to hide the signatures and stuff.
Yes, until it's unavoidable at the end, you know, and it's too late for them to get at him anyway. That was such a Jedi move to me. I know you could say, well, that's just an experienced starfighter or pilot or whatever you want to say. But to me, that was more of a experienced Jedi move. Somebody that like would have fought in the Clone Wars would be like that experienced in escape.
I agree about the having fought in the Clone Wars kind of thing as being part of it.
Yeah.
I think the only reason why you're saying that's a Jedi move is because fucking Obi-Wan jettisoned his spare parts fucking container on the starfighter to trick fucking Boba into thinking, you know, as a missile decoy for Chaff. Yep. Other than that, like, I think that character in the Old Republic, or, you know, in the Republic days, probably was, like, a fucking agent of the Republic. Mm.
Maybe.
Like a non-clone agent. Because, like, dude, why the fuck else would he have all this skill set?
Yeah.
Like, let's swap him out for Qui-Gon Jinn. I mean, Liam Neeson, he has a particular set of skills.
He definitely does. I mean, he's the best character in this series. There's a lot of mystery to him. And I kind of want it to stay a little bit mysterious, like who he is and what he does. But, like, knowing newer Star Wars and knowing Disney Star Wars... we're going to get every aspect of his life at some point. There's going to be like a comic book and then like a trilogy of novels about Luthen and like the early adventures of Luthen. I'd be cool with
that, especially if during the Clone Wars he was like a fucking operative.
Yeah. So, anyway, go ahead, Shannon. Go ahead.
No, my point was just going to be he definitely seems like he's got a plan for his backup plan and a backup plan for the backup plan. Like, he's got it all, all sides covered.
He's playing chess. He's playing chess with a lot of different pieces, and he has to manipulate them all. And I think he realizes how valuable Saw Gerrera is, despite how unstable that he is.
Right.
And, you know, I mean...
I think he's planning on using that instability to his own... best interest later.
Yep.
Right. And along the chess analogy, I think he's probably using Saw as a sacrificial knight, and his assistant in the shop is clearly the queen, but she's also maneuvering parts.
Yeah.
In conjunction, like.
Right.
I was waiting for her to lose her shit with fucking Mon Mothma's fucking cousin slash the
Val.
Chick who was, Val, who was in charge of the fucking heist that poor Shannon hasn't seen yet.
She'll get to
it. But I want on the record that the assistant is going to turn on them all. That's my prediction.
Maybe. She seems like, you know, she's the one holding things together as far as like, this is the plan that we made. We need to stick to it. You know, I mean, she says it to Val in so many words, you know, like, look, this is not how we do things. This is how you get caught. We are in the middle of fucking Coruscant here. We are in the middle, in the belly of the beast. You cannot be walking in here and saying whatever you want. There can be all kinds of droids or devices listening to us. You cannot be right. that reckless, you know?
And she points out very, very, very precisely that, like, yeah, we saw your signal. Somebody would have gotten to it in a day or two. Like, you're not the only piece in play. You need to, like...
And definitely not the most important.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, Vel, I think, is going to be the weak link.
I think you're right.
Probably. But I think the way the assistant... And, I mean, I've only seen the one episode.
Yeah.
But the way the assistant acts, she really seems to be the one telling everybody how it's going to go down. So she's telling Luthen, don't come back. You're going to screw up everything I've got going on. I've got it under control.
Right.
So I think he's going to mess something up. She's going to just decide she's continuing on with the playbook that she has. Yeah. She's going to screw everybody over.
Yep. They could be. And what it really shows is how disjointed this rebellion really is in the beginning. There's a bunch of different leaders and factions with their own ambitions and their own idea of how this thing can be won and how it can be done. And how do we bring all these people together? How do we bring all these people together to have one concise vision, one plan for overthrowing this legitimately elected government?
Thank you, Travis. I appreciate that. Well, I think Shannon's right in that something with the assistant is going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to be the betrayer, but I think what's going to happen is she's going to abandon she's going to abandon the boss because he is not following the playbook. She's going to probably deem that he's being too reckless,
yeah.
and it's going to jeopardize things.
Yeah.
And that may or may not downstream be its own problem.
Yeah.
Like, he might have to deal with her.
Yeah.
Which I think would be an interesting thing because she does not seem like the person to fuck with. Like, you look at Vel and you think she's probably going to do some shit.
Yeah.
Or Vel's girlfriend who's back on fucking Trash Planet fucking 2.0 or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't remember.
Ferex.
Yeah. Like, the chicken who's working in the Tap Cafe on Ferex.
Yeah.
It was her girlfriend. Yeah. Who's sticking to the fucking plan and doing as she's told.
Yeah.
I think the assistant is going to, like, lay down some shit. And I think Vel's going to be one of those things that just gets taken care of and cleaned up.
Maybe.
Episode 12 might be Luthen coming back and messing up whatever's in play. And then they'll end on a cliffhanger to have you come back to see how that all plays out.
Well, I mean, they've already said that it's going to be two seasons for sure, definitively two seasons, because right. at the end of the second season, we will be up against Rogue One. So apparently we're going to get everything in Cassian's life from now until Rogue One in season two, which seems like a lot. From the little that they did in this season, to be that ambitious, to do that much more in the next season sounds like, okay, you know I'm going to watch it, you assholes. You know I'm going to watch it.
Because
I'm just a slave to Star Wars and I'm just going to watch it, but I'll be resentful the whole time.
I know.
And I am that sucker.
I'll give you a bad review every single week.
Oh, that sounds like me and Picard.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly. If I was reviewing Picard week to week, I would do the same thing. I only watched season one, but there was so many moments of that show that I really liked, but it was mostly like when like old friends met up or something. But overall, I just hated like every second of that show, man.
It's so bad.
If that woman called him JL one more time, I was going to lose it, man. I was like, you did not refer to Jean-Luc as JL.
You did not earn that, and none of it's...
Nobody's earned that.
Nobody.
I like being the wrong difference of opinion on that, because I actually rather enjoyed fucking Picard.
Heretic monster.
Monster.
All right, anyway, that wraps up our Andor discussion for this week. Thank you so much for watching it, Shannon. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was giggles worth.
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this with our Wakanda Forever review. Please stay tuned. This episode of Radio Free Galaxy is brought to you by Eddie Vedder's Cheddarwurst. Eddie Vedder's Cheddarwurst are the only brand of cheese-filled sausage that will keep you even flowing all day long. Find them in your local supermarket today. Eddie Vedder's Cheddarwurst. All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Travis, Christine, Adam, and Shannon here once again. And we are going to give you first our non-spoiler thoughts, and then we'll get into spoilers on the newest installment of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Wakanda Forever, a.k.a. Black Panther 2. We just saw it over the past weekend. Just released last week. It's, you know, doing really good numbers in theaters worldwide. It doesn't have a lot of major competition right now at the box office, though. So, yeah, Wakanda Forever. Let's get into our non-spoiler thoughts on it. Who wants to go first? I'll go first. Whether I liked it or not, it's too long. It's way too long. If I criticize Zack Snyder and DC movies for being as long as they are and as bloated as they are, I have to be fair and do the same thing when Marvel does it. And even though I'm a Marvel fanboy, I have to say it's just entirely too long for the second movie in a franchise. It's not the last movie. We're not talking about Avengers Endgame here, where you have to fit in so many endings of stories and universal implications and everything like that, where it deserves a close to 3-hour runtime or whatever. This is just the second movie in a franchise, a sequel. It does not need to be 2 hours and 48 minutes. It's too bloated. It's too long. And this movie suffers from it, definitely. There's too many storylines going on. Too many things happen in this that lessen the impact of, like, the really cool things that happen. And we'll get into that more when we get into spoilers. I don't want to exactly mention specifically what I'm talking about. But, my other non-spoiler thoughts. I mean, if you're a Marvel fan and a Black Panther fan, I recommend it. I don't think it's a bad movie. I just think it's got too many things going on. It loses its focus. And it really also doesn't have a focus. There's not really one focused main storyline that, like, I could pick out and say, well, this movie is about blank. It's really just another chapter in the MCU. I heard that. The communicator. Very nice. I can't say exactly what this movie is about. Like, this movie is the story of who is the next Black Panther. Not really. I mean, that happens in this movie. Okay, you could say, well, this movie is the introduction of the Submariner, or Namor. Not really. No. I mean, that's part of this movie. Okay, well, then this movie is a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. Well, I mean, that's in here, but that's not really it. Okay, well, this movie is the introduction to Riri Williams and Ironheart. No, that's in here too, but that, you know what I mean? Like, there's, okay, what is this movie about? And I don't think it's really about anything. I don't think it has one main storyline that you can follow and say that you can't watch this movie in a bubble. You can't be a non-MCU fan, walk into this movie, and enjoy it, I think, in any sort of way other than appreciating what the actors are doing. Because the actors across the board are all doing a great job. I can't really look at any of the acting and say that anybody did a weak job. If anybody, I'm going to say anybody did, I think it was the actress that played Riri, Dominique Thorne, but really, I don't think it was her fault. I think her part was written a little clunky, and her storyline was thrown in a little clunky. And so every time she popped in for like a line or something, it just didn't fit into what else was going on in the movie. And I was just kind of put off by her presence and the fact that she was in it so much, you know, and it really didn't come to much. She wasn't really needed. This isn't really her story. And all of these things take away from what really should be a tribute to Chadwick Boseman. You know what I mean? And the legacy of the Black Panther. I thought this movie could have served itself better by being shorter and focus on the family. You know, focus really on just the family. Letitia Wright, how she's dealing with losing her brother. I mean, there was lots of that. There was lots of it, believe me. How the queen was dealing with losing everyone in her family and everything. But there were so many distractions that took away from it and some other silliness that we'll talk about that it just lost its emotional impact. In the beginning of the movie, I had tears in my eyes, and then I just lost all that feeling after a while. And so I recommend it. I think it's mediocre as hell. But I think it's got a lot of problems. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. I honestly don't. There's one mid-credit scene, and there's no post-credit scene. Just in case you haven't seen it yet, and you're waiting for that end-credit scene, there is none. There's a post-credit scene that's significant, I guess, but no end-credit scene, so don't stay to the end like we did, like dummies. Adam, do you want to go next, man?
Sure. So I did a Marvel Plus subscription for a little while where you get like online content access, and I started reading some of the Ironheart stuff, and I was immediately like, I love this character. I think it's cool that it carries on like the Iron Man aesthetic and feel, and I love that it's like the super smart, equally genius, African-American girl from Chicago who's, making her own suit and all that, because she's really a cool, dynamic character in the comics.
Yeah.
But, like, dude, she's a MacGuffin character to the MacGuffin fucking device.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did not need her.
Right.
Like, they could have introduced her entirely differently. They could have put her on, they could have done something cool with her on her own on Disney Plus as a series, like a 5-part series, then give her a fucking cool ass movie,
Yeah.
Like, get your feet wet with her, not add her into the Black Panther. Like, I don't know, man. I think that was not a great choice. Because, yeah. I mean, if you cut that down and cut most of that out, they didn't necessarily need her for parts of the movie. They could have redid some of the sequences and everything. It just would have tightened it up a bit. And like you said, dude, like with like the Snyder Cut, I know people who like the Snyder Cut, more power to them. I think it's a fucking horrendous waste of fucking time. It doesn't add anything, in my opinion, to the movie. Like, this did not need, like, if we're going to fucking hold Zack Snyder's feet to the fire for this, for being long, we have to do it to this too. Because otherwise it's just kind of like, all right, what do you really consider too long? Like, and then on that note, like, at this point, I'd say the movie Amadeus is too fucking long as well. That's a long-ass fucking tread of a movie as well.
I know.
Like, dude, there's... Man, unless you want to throw an intermission into your movie, don't, man. Fucking just don't. You get to 2.5 hours, man, start cutting.
Yeah, I know.
Or make a second fucking movie.
I know. I feel like Marvel, though, at this point, they don't really make movies. They just make installments in their franchise. They're not into making singular movies anymore. They
and
did
part of
at
that
one
is
point.
Because they have a fucking phased plan.
Yeah. I mean, even within Phase 1 and Phase 2, though, we still got some singular movies that were, like, great standalone movies that you can watch. I mean, you can point to Iron Man, but, of course, that was the first one, so that, or technically the second one, but, you know, that doesn't really count because it was kicking the whole thing off. But there are a lot of, like, the first Guardians of the Galaxy you can watch in a bubble. You know what I mean? You can watch that without having any previous knowledge of the Marvel
Cinematic Universe. You can watch the second Guardians of the Galaxy in a bubble to just Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
yeah,
they can stand pretty well on their own.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a great filmmaker who knows how to edit and who's had to work in very small budgets when he was coming up as a filmmaker. You know, when he was working for Troma and doing things like that, he had to work with, you know, minuscule, microscopic budgets and make things look cool and make them make sense and everything like that and have fun with it. So, I mean, yeah, those movies are... Anyway, your point is noted. Shannon, what do you think, non-spoiler, of this movie?
Spoiler. It was long. Yeah. It was. But I was giving it the benefit of the doubt because they basically have to reboot the entire franchise.
Right.
I mean, you can't just... Chad, he was amazing. You can't just say, you know, moving on. You have to give it the closure. And I think they did okay with that. Not giving spoilers, but it was long. But they have a lot of backstory they have to now give their new Black Panther. So I was kind of giving them a pass on the length, but it was long.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would ever watch it again. Yeah. You can't watch it in a bubble. Adam already mentioned Ironheart. She's just a MacGuffin. She really is.
Right. Definitely the weakest part of the movie.
Yeah. And I think they had enough material, honestly, to start the war without having her there.
Mm-hmm.
They could have easily reworked a little bit. We probably would have saved half an hour of our lives and continued on just as well. But I think they were getting a little greedy and thought they'd be able to introduce her at the same time.
Right, you guys are absolutely right. When you say that she's a MacGuffin, I mean, it's absolutely true, because that's who both sides are going after, the scientist, in quotation marks. So that absolutely makes her the MacGuffin. And then, but the MacGuffin gets so much screen time in this movie. You know, like, that's just not great filmmaking. And
it wasn't, and they used her for comedic relief a lot.
Yeah, and this movie really didn't need that. You know, I mean, like, I don't know. I'm so confused about what they were trying to do with this
Maybe
movie.
They were just trying to keep, like, American moviegoers engaged, because it's not really, I mean, other than two characters and part of the movie, like, what involves America?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm just sitting here sorting my thoughts and, like, this is not a good movie. Like, no. I it's a mediocre installment in the MCU, but it's not a good movie. You know? I
still would rather watch all of the, in, like, one sitting, all of the Hawkeye stuff.
Yeah.
Christine. I would watch all of the Winter Soldier and, and Falcon. All in one shot, then watch that, the Wakanda Forever again.
Damn.
I mean,
I'd watch this before She-Hulk. I'll be honest.
Oh,
well, I mean, there is that. That's not hard.
I'd rewatch She-Hulk.
I'd rewatch
She-Hulk in this, because I know I'll at least laugh. I'll at least laugh and have fun and enjoy myself at least for a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't know that there's any part of this that I really, really enjoyed. I'm trying to think of certain scenes and things. Like, the beginning was touching. And it was a really nice tribute to Chadwick Boseman, but I don't know that I enjoyed it. I mean, a lot of the ceremonial scenes and things that made the first Black Panther so cool in, like, Wakanda, showing Wakanda and the Wakanda people, the impact of how beautiful and well done they were in the first movie was diminished in this one. Even when they did the ceremonial scene of Letitia Wright, I'm getting the spoilers, but I think we all know that Shuri becomes the Black Panther even before we all saw this. So they didn't really make that much of a secret. she becomes the Black Panther. But anyway, Christine, get into your thoughts. I'm sorry. We're all getting along.
Well, I liked parts of this movie, but I was most of all just really confused and bored through the majority of it because, like everyone else, it was way too long and there was no focus on it. Like, they could have cut out so much of these little side stories they had in it and actually had a really awesome movie that wasn't, like, 3 hours long where I'm like, what day is it when we're walking out of the theater? Like, I mean, like, yeah, Marvel movies, like, can be long, but this, like, it didn't need to be like that, and I think they, I don't know what they were thinking, to be honest, like, in it. Like, this, like, the thought process for why would you throw so many storylines on him when you could have just stayed with, you know, the death of the original Black Panther, Shuri coming up as the new one, and just kind of dealing with that. Like, that could have been a solid movie.
I know. Another character that I need to mention, because we're talking about the MacGuffin in Riri, not really being essential to this movie. Another character that didn't need to be in this movie was Everett Ross, Martin Freeman. Like, they kept just throwing him into scenes.
It made no sense.
And he did not need to be there. Like, I just, we know that he's associated with this universe. And, of okay, he probably has, like, a multi-movie deal that he's got to be thrown into certain movies. But, like, he just kept showing up in scenes and, like, I'm like, this is, what point does his character have for the rest of this movie? Like, that okay, story, I know there needs to be a connection to the American government, but like...
Well, that didn't come, well, I mean, we'd have to go into spoilers to go into more of this.
Yeah, so let's get into spoilers then. I think our recommendations around the board pretty much are, it's a mediocre installment in the MCU. It's not a good movie. If you're a fan of the a completist of the MCU, you should watch it. None of us are probably going to watch it ever again unless it's, you know, passing on some channel somewhere and we stop to watch a particularly good scene or something. But other than that, man, I just don't think it's very good. It's not a well-made movie. So let's get into spoilers. And one of my first topics of discussion I want to get into is that I thought the tribute to Chadwick Boseman in the beginning and the funeral and all that was beautiful.
Yes.
I had tears in my eyes. Yep. More so for Chadwick Boseman, the man, the actor, that I'm just sad as hell isn't in the world with us anymore. And like, I thought they did a great job at that. But then they lessened the impact of that in the beginning by killing off Queen Ramunda, and they gave her death almost no time and no significance whatsoever. So we had to deal with another death of a character that we love. And I mean, I know we're not losing Angela Bassett like we lost Chadwick Boseman, but to take that character away from us in the same movie and then give her death almost no time, it was almost just glossed over. I thought that was such an affront to Angela Bassett's performance. I mean, she has been so great in both of these movies. And I think there was no reason to kill her off in this movie. You could have waited to another movie and to... Dude, the MCU is going on, like, for the near future. I don't know how long it's going to go on. But it's going to go on. You did not need to kill her off. Maybe her deal was up or whatever, but you sign that woman for one more movie and you make it work. You do not lessen her death and Chadwick Boseman's death by putting both of them in the same movie. Am I wrong on this?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I was actually surprised on how, like, oh, and she's gone. Like, they didn't do anything. It just was there. It's like, what happened?
She just drowned. I was baffled.
Dude, mm-hmm. and she dies saving the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I honestly, dude, I think they should have not killed her for any reason to be the tempering force along with I don't remember the fucking dude's name, but the guy who's in charge of the ape tribe of the Wakandans.
M'Baku.
Yeah, M'Baku. Like, okay, so him and the queen would be the and following Black Panther movies would be Shuri's tempering, like, influence. Like, she's a Black Panther of rage and vengeance.
Yeah.
You know, she has all that, like, anger in her heart, that her brother didn't have, you know? And they would be like the tempering influence. Now we only have Baku.
But
I think that's why they got rid of her, I think, was to make the story work for them and their vision. Because it's, you know, there's nobody to tell her to calm down.
Yeah.
There's nobody to tell her, no, you're not allowed to do this plan of yours. She's the one in charge, so she gets to make that decision. And if her mother had lived, it wouldn't have gone down that way. They would have had to figure a different way to close it out. So I just think it was messy story writing, or they had a vision, and that was the only way to get to that.
Exactly. They saw an endgame they wanted to get to, and they had to choose a path to get there. And they made some very strange character decisions along the way. And I don't agree with the death of Ramonda in this movie. And also, speaking of M'Baku, I love Winston Duke. I love his portrayal in the last movie. He takes a complete 180 in his character in this movie and really is in it for almost no reason. He
became kind of a caricature of himself.
Yeah.
Like, he was eating a carrot just randomly, like, in the palace, just casually. Well,
that's such, like, a big dick energy move.
Yes.
In like, superhero films in general, it's usually an apple. The symbolism is usually an apple. You'll see the bad guy or the hero eating an apple. Like, I think they have Chris Pine do it at one point in the new Star Trek movies. Shannon, some, you know, like, it's always a big dick energy movie to be eating something during a scene like that. And they usually use an apple. In the Black Widow movie, the villain in that was doing the same thing, eating an apple. It's almost one of those tropes that, like, if somebody's instead of an apple, he was eating a weirdly colored carrot. I kept looking at it like, I'm pretty sure that's a carrot, but like, it's like,
he was eating it like Bugs Bunny, and I'm like, what are we doing?
It's very odd. I just don't know. And then he was
accentuating points of that he was making by taking a chomp out of that carrot.
Taking a chomp out of the carrot, just like a villain will do with an apple. They'll sit there and eat an apple at a time that they're supposed to be very tense. It's supposed to be a tense situation, and they'll put a mundane thing in their hand of this dangerous character and have them doing something mundane like that to see, to point out, make a more pointed note of how dangerous they really are. You know what I mean?
I get your point, but I think in this case, he was more showing that he's not scared of, and he doesn't bow down like everybody else does.
Yeah.
He's saying, I do my own thing, and it's not a respect thing, but it's just a, you don't control me kind of thing. So I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to walk in eating a carrot because that's what I feel like doing right now.
Yeah, right.
Oh, although carrot is still totally up for debate.
I know, right? Like, it was definitely a root vegetable of some kind.
Chomping on a root vegetable in the palace.
I mean, like the next movie, is he going to show up eating some purple, like, cauliflower or something?
Oh, because of the vibranium. Is that why their carrots turn purple in Wakanda?
I don't know. Do our carrots turn purple from vibranium?
We don't have vibranium, so I wouldn't know.
Ooh.
Okay, we got to get to Namor.
Oh, God.
Okay, the ankle wings. All right.
Dude.
I'm an old school MCU fan, and I know that's just what Namor has. First of all, Tenek Huerta, the actor that plays Namor, great job working with what he had. Looks amazing, beautiful, whatever. But those freaking ankle wings, the way they did them in this movie, they accentuated the fluttering noise of the wings. And they just lingered on them all the time when, like, he would float. Yeah, yes, exactly. And I just could not help myself from laughing.
Yes.
It was hilarious.
Yes. Dude, when he first shows up on the beach where the Queen and Shuri are on, I thought he slipped them off like little slippers when he came to introduce himself. And I'm like, okay, I can justify your little flappy slippers coming up. I'm like, oh, they're connected. That's silly.
Well, I mean, that's the character.
Right. But the
that's
comic, the character. Yeah, the comic book character has them though, and it's just like,
yeah.
All right.
But you know, the MCU though will change a detail like that and make it more relatable to more of a real world setting. And I appreciate when they keep something comic accurate, but they don't need to accentuate it with that loud fluttering sound. It was the fluttering sound that did it for me, because that sound was so upfront with the little flapping of the dumb wings that it took away from the impact of his scenes. And I'm just waiting for the fluttering again. You know?
What's that in the distance? Oh,
that's
coming.
Namor. He's silly as hell. You know?
Dude, they could have... this movie did not need him in here, but I do appreciate some of the comical relief he gave inadvertently from his little flippy feet.
Flippy feet. Yeah, what did you think of them ankle wings, Shannon? They're silly, right?
Yeah, they were a little ridiculous. I apparently did not find them quite as amusing as you two did.
I laughed out loud, yeah.
We did.
I was there.
I thought it was a little bit funnier that he seemed to, like, when he would fly and he was gaining height with them, it was almost like he was, like, hopping up. And
yeah.
So that was a little jarring to watch.
Yeah.
I liked him, though.
I did.
You could understand what he was trying to do.
Yes.
He wasn't out to destroy the world because he was an egomaniac.
Right.
He was trying to protect his people.
Yes.
So I could totally get behind that.
Yes.
He may have been misguided and going and destroying everybody in the world, but
yes.
I could at least get behind the motive, and it was relatable and better than some plots you've seen out there.
Yes. I agree. And it's very much in line, Adam, with the original Submariner storyline from the comics.
Right. Which is fine, but, like, and again, Travis is more of a fan of some of, like, the not-as-popular characters, and a lot of the Namor books were pretty much like, hey, man, you can have, like, three of these for a buck.
Yeah.
Because he's an Avenger and all that shit, and, you know, or Defender, whatever the fuck team he's on.
Both.
From one given year.
Yeah.
But, like, alright. And I, like, asked Travis, I'm like, dude, like, I know I'm not a fucking Submariner fan, but, dude, wasn't he a fucking Atlantean? And I'm like, okay, so now he's a fucking Mesoamerican.
Right. You changed that. So, I mean, you changed that right there. So, why couldn't you change the flippy wings? You know what I mean?
And I'm like, and okay, the Mesoamerican thing, like, I guess, dude, like, that kind of is my heritage, and I don't feel like it was, like, appropriate or anything. It was just, like, why did you choose that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, and, like, is Namor, like, in the comics, the regular, like, cinematic, or in the non-cinematic universe, you know, do the Atlanteans have vibranium because of another... you know, meteorite?
Adam, it's been a long time since you and I have been regular readers of Marvel Comics. This probably is based on a more recent storyline, a rebooting of Namor.
Either that or it's fucking Ultimates, because Ultimates is essentially MCU, but in paper form, but it's still not the same universe.
Right.
It's near it. Because, reasons.
You know, guys.
Yes.
I wonder if this thing was so long because they're trying to get a start for him to have a show or a movie, and Ironheart to have a show and a movie, and the Chadwick, you know, honoring, and the Black Panther start. Like, did they just take three intro movies and shove them into one?
Well, yes, and that seems like that's all they do anymore. But then he also said that one important word. Namor said that one important word that foreshadows the future of the MCU. And he said, I'm a mutant, right?
Yeah, see?
And that was supposed to be a very impactful thing. And that's supposed to be, I mean, that means a lot for the MCU for someone to say, I am a mutant.
Right, because that used to be not their IP.
Right.
Yeah, see, I'm sure they'd probably be fine with Namor, but I don't think James Cameron's going to be okay with his blue sea people running about doing stuff before his Avatar movie comes out.
I know, seeing the previews for The Way of Water before this movie and then seeing this movie, I got to be like, dude, James Cameron must be like up in arms. Like, they did a blue people, you know, water movie, damn it.
Yeah, because it's like...
Well, that was my idea.
All I gotta say to that, though, man, like, if James Cameron really did, it does have that type of a fucking reaction, is shitter, get off the fucking pot, dude.
Yeah, how understand about not taking 20 years to make your fucking movie?
Nobody right. asked for another Avatar movie.
Nobody. Nobody.
But it was just weird, like, I left the theater to go to the bathroom, and I came back, and, like, almost beat for the trailer for Avatar, like, in Wakanda Forever, there was a bunch of blue Mayans connected to some whales, and I'm like, uh-oh. And then they also randomly change color when they come out of the water. It kind of reminded me of those old Barbies. You could put their hair under the water and it would change. I'm like, why is this in here? Why are we spending so much time on that?
Yeah.
I love their breathing apparatus that's like interchangeable with like surface goers and
yeah.
You know.
There were cool parts to it. I mean, like I have to the two people that played Namor's lieutenants, Namora and Atuma, especially Atuma. He was a monster. I loved the portrayal of that character. The way that he fought and just how strong and like he was just a monster. And I really, and Namora, the way that she was like so like warlike and like ready for revenge and like just like it was a very Submariner storyline that felt very familiar.
She kind of had a little bit of a vibe of like you're not really one of us towards Namor.
Yeah. A little bit of that. Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with, and Namora should be a force to be reckoned with in the Submariner storyline. We didn't get any actual mention of the Submariner name in here. Did you guys hear any? I'm trying to think. I don't remember anyone calling him, like, the Submariner.
No, it was just Namor and bye.
Yeah. And whatever that other name is that they came up for.
Yeah,
Tolkien Khan.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like Teotihuacan, but...
Yeah, basically. It sounded like that, yeah. And then we got...
It went out of their way, too, to fucking put him in, like, fucking tribal garb when he wasn't in the water.
Well, dude, you gotta show off that bod. I mean, if you got that bod, you got to show it.
Yeah, get him more wets, but guys. They didn't. More jewelry.
No, but they didn't. When he was not in the water and he was just chilling with Shuri, he was wearing like a fucking serape, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily a serape, but like a, you know, a tribal garb. And it's like, okie dokie. Just leave some dry clothes on land when you're chilling? Like, okay.
Yeah. And I got to mention again, Angela Bassett to me was just one of the highlights of the movie. Letitia Wright, she's wonderful. She can do no wrong for me.
Oh, yeah. I love her, but...
She just didn't have a lot of really good stuff to work with. She was always dealing with some other kind of bullshit, and I really thought the focus of the movie should have been on her and Angela Bassett just a little bit more, and it just kept getting distracted away by so much useless stuff. And I really wanted to see Letitia Wright shine in this position, and I really think it was a disservice the way that this movie was made to her as an actress and as to the character of Shuri. I think they could have done a way better job of serving a great actress like that. But we have to get to talk about the other Dora Milaje ladies. Nakia comes back. We get some more Nakia. Apparently she had Black Panther's son. So in the mid-credit scene, we get to see that,
the burning
Shuri
of the
is an auntie, and, you know, the line will continue whether Shuri has children or not. And so that was kind of a cool little scene. Okoye.
It was only cool-ish.
Yeah, I know. It felt so forced at that point, right?
Well, it did, yeah. And then I put it back to She-Hulk, where they introduced Hulk's son.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, now they're getting ready.
Huh? You're right.
Yeah, like...
Now they're getting ready to introduce the next generation, and it's just like, ugh, okay.
Dude, I know, I was really just wanted Shuri to shine as the Black Panther, and then they're just giving the mantle off to somebody else, and it kind of just even takes even more away from the impact of whatever you're trying to build up. So I'm like... I don't know. There's just so many confusing things going on. Like, yeah, it would be sweet maybe in the third installment, but not in the second installment where, like, like, give some room to grieve. But, yeah, Angela Bassett, like, I love her. She's so gorgeous. And, like, they just, I don't know. I don't think anyone acted badly in this movie, but there's just...
No.
There was just too many bad choices done for the script. You know, it was just...
No, it's definitely not the actor's fault. It's definitely not the actor's fault. It lies with the director, how many writers probably worked on it together, and the editors.
So, like, let's back up a second. So Shannon brings up, you know, Hulk's fucking kid.
Scar.
Yeah, so we get Scar. We get T'Challa Jr.
Yeah.
Or the second, however they're going to fucking treat that one, whatever. So Jr. Yeah. Dude.
Oh, Ant-Man's kid.
Yep. Ant-Man's daughter. Yep. And Kate, what's her fuck?
Kate fucking Bishop.
Hawkeye. Yeah, Kate Bishop. So, like, yeah, they are setting up for, like, the next gen.
Yeah.
Like, and Riri technically pretty much is the next gen of Iron Man.
Right.
Which, hold on, let me fucking say, hated her fucking suit. Like, what the fuck, dude? We have Samus Aran from Metroid in the fucking movie? Yeah.
I thought it was more, like, what was it, the bubblegum anime that had, like, you know,
that's
manga
fine.
Style Gundam?
That's fine. But it looked like fucking Samus Aran from fucking Metroid.
Yeah.
Like,
and she made it a little too fast.
Yeah.
You know?
she was in Wakanda, dude.
Yeah, but
and they don't
Wakanda
really
takes
go...
a minute to make things.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so on that note then, look how fast Shuri reproduced that fucking, the heart-shaped herb.
Well,
she was
already working on that for a long time.
Right,
yeah,
but
watched.
Like, genetic manipulation does not happen that fucking fast.
No. She had been working on that for a long time, I think.
Still, from 29% though to... Yeah. I mean, okay, great. Right. She got a piece of fucking genetic material to help with the work, but...
You're right.
Come on, man.
You're not wrong.
Like,
it should be a little harder. That...
Can we get like an insert like the SpongeBob several days later? Like something?
Adam, that storyline could have been its own movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, restoring the heart-shaped herb is so important to Wakanda and the Black Panther storyline. That could have been this movie. Just doing that. There doesn't even need to be a major villain.
No.
Just like, right. Dealing with their loss, learning how to cope and go on, learning how to reinvent what Wakanda means, what the Black Panther means to all them.
Dealing with the ongoing threat of people getting their hands on vibranium.
And then having some kind of adventure where Shuri has to go out into the world and figure out how to... She has this focus in restoring this herb, but then she, like, deals with all of her trauma and stuff while she's doing that and has, like, a come to... God moment or whatever, and you know, I mean, just like
a hero's quest,
exactly.
Dude, that sounds so much more fantastic than what I saw, because that would have been focused, it would have been beautiful. Like, they could have seen her come to like the realization to cope with her pain, the loss of like her family, and then come back as the Black Panther. Like,
yes,
that could
come back to her nation, like, as the Black Panther.
Because, like, she was only the Black Panther for a short amount of time in a movie called, you know, Wakanda Forever. Like, like, I don't know. There's just, like, that would have been so much cooler.
I know. We just wrote a better movie.
Like, her storyline at all.
Yeah.
It's such a personality change between the first one and the second one.
Yeah.
The actress did a wonderful job. I'm not shitting all over her on that. Yep. But she was not an angry soul in the first one at all. And then suddenly the loss of her brother, and it just flipped a switch in her personality? Really?
I know people deal with
grief differently, but that seemed radical.
Yep. Yeah, for her and Winston Duke and M'Baku, they both had a drastic change in their entire character, and it just didn't make any sense to me. Look, we're running a little long here, guys. Just give me your final thoughts on Wakanda Forever. Shannon, go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry,
a little long.
Yeah.
We'll probably never watch it again.
Yeah.
I think it was a touching tribute to Chadwick, which if anybody's gonna watch it for that reason alone.
Yep.
Agreed. Don't worry about the rest of the story. They did a beautiful tribute to him.
Yep.
Totally worth it just for that, even if you never watch it again.
Agreed. Adam?
I would say if you're a completionist, watch it. That's pretty much that and the tribute to Chadwick. It is fucking long, and I never appreciate that.
Never.
Ever. And, like, dude, come on, man. Yep. Christine got up and went to the bathroom. I was actually fearful that I would have to do the same, especially after drinking a 40-ounce soda.
Well, Christine?
It was average. I'd say watch it just for the Chadwick Boseman part, but I would never watch this again.
I wouldn't say I would never watch it again. I just don't know that, like, I'm going to go buy the Blu-ray. You know what I mean? And, like, I need a digital copy of it or something, especially because, you know, it's going to be on Disney Plus or whatever. But, like, it was fine. It was a fun thing to go do with my friends and, you know, everything. But, like, going to movies is just fun for me. But even if it's a bad movie... But way too long. Yeah, I did consider going to the bathroom at one point, which is unheard of for me in a movie, you know? And I was, like, really thinking about it, especially before the mid-credit scene came on. I'm like, do I have time before the mid-credit scene? Anyway, yeah. So that's been episode 128 of Radio Free Galaxy. Thank you to Christine and Adam and Shannon. Trisha's feeling under the weather this week. She's had strep throat all week, and even if she didn't, she wouldn't have gone and seen this mess anyway. Nope. So she wouldn't have been on anyway. So
I would have felt bad for her if she went to go see
this. No, if we would have talked her into seeing this, she would have been so mad at us. So, you know, good thing she had strep throat. So, yeah, so that's been our show for this week. Please remember to leave us a rating or review on Spotify app and Apple Podcasts. And please subscribe to the Radio Free Galaxy YouTube channel and follow us on social media on Instagram and Facebook. We'll see you next time on Radio Free Galaxy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.